様、本日はビルヘンドリーエアをご利用いただき誠にありがとうございます。この飛行機は地上3万フィートを飛行してまいります。また通信本日機内ではゴジラを用意しております。またパールハーバー And now, here's Phil.
Phil Landry here, 1-800-449-8686. The GameWorks that we're going to be at on Thursday nightis in one end of the mall there, and at the other end is a Dave & Buster's. And have you spent any time there, Shafe, at the Dave & Buster's? Oh, you are in such a need of a life, because that is the epitome of adult entertainment, fun for people of all ages, over the age of 18, that is, because guess what? They don't let kids in after 8 o'clock at night. No little squirrely kids. No kids. You see what I'm saying? In other words, you can go in and you can do...video games, you can do that virtual golf, you can do all that, those virtual reality games, you can do those auto race games. It's, you can drink like a fish. You can suck all kinds of different drinks, mixed, well, call, beers, domestic and imported, anything you want to do.And you don't have to worry about Junior getting scandalized because he's in there and he's on the video game, because this is a beautiful thing. This is a new day. This is a video game emporium for adults. Grown-ups. See, we have four kids at home. I got no problem with the guys. In fact, I went out Christmas shopping today. And I'll tell you, you know, I don't want to sound corny, but there is something about Christmas. It's even more fun for adults than it is for kids, going out and buying crap for these guys. I got off on it. I just got off on it. You know, I just dug it. I dug going out and buying all kinds of crap for these guys. You know how much bread we spent? I don't even want to go there. I can't even begin to tell you. I mean, I was whipping out credit cards that haven't been good for years. I'm laying on these guys. And they're taking them.We're just buying all this stuff. But when push comes to shove, when day turns to night, when it's time to relax, here's the good friends. You know, that whole let it be low and brow bullcrap. You go and you have yourself a kick. And, you know, you kick it there at Dave & Buster's over there at GameWorks. Have yourself a belt. And Tony was telling me, see, I've never been to GameWorks. They got the big sports bar? No, just booze and games. Ain't got no sports bar. See, Dave & Buster's got that sports bar going on. At least the one in Fort Lauderdale. I don't know anything about the one in Ontario. Got no clue. And is this in Orange? This is Orange, man. So now they got two Dave & Buster's. They got one in Ontario, and they got one in Orange. And they got one in Irv. Oh, well, gee, thanks a lot, guys. How about sticking one out where I live, Ventura County? Just any day now would be really nice if something, anything, would be built in Ventura County, right there in the county line, Ventura and L.A. County, where a grown-up man like me could go out and have a couple of laughs. I'd have to drag the kids to everything. We got Chuck E. Cheese till it's coming out of your ears. We have got, oh, yeah. But anything for Mom and Dad to go and kick at, no, forget that, man. It's got to be Chuck E. Cheese or death.Chuck E. Cheese or die, monster, die. God, that's so unfair. I feel so raped. Jeez. So freaking unfair, man. I gotta live out there in the county line, Ventura, L.A., which is the home of the soccer mom. And there ain't nothing out there. Oh, but wait a minute. We got Outback and Borderline Bar. Well, ain't that a lot of fun? Guess what, man? My cowboy hat just blew off my head in a pickup truck one day, and I never bought a new one.Borderline. Hey, forgive me, and I don't mean to, you know, but I, you know, I'm gonna go, it's a lot of guys that like pick cabbage in a day. No, I'm kidding. They're nice. They're very nice people. They're very nice people. But they're all those guys with the spray-on jeans, the pointy-toe boot, the cowboy hat. It's a wonderful thing. It is a part of our culture. It is a subcultural and cultural phenomenon. It's called country music, and there ain't nothing wrong with it at all, brother.But I don't look good in that joint. Big buckles, they don't look good on me. You want to know why the big buckle on my gut? You know, it just accentuates the gut on me anyway. Yeah, here, Phil, put on a large buckled belt. If that doesn't draw attention to your big-ass gut, I don't know what will. Put on a big, everything ought to be big. How about a striped shirt and a big buckle? There you go. That's very slimming. Even a guy that's got 1% body fat puts on a big belt buckle, you think this guy's walking around like Slim Pickens. He's got a gut hanging out. Put on the horizontal stripes and the big belt buckle, and a guy with 1% body fat is walking around looking like your average security cop. Your average guy working security. So, no, borderline ain't going to happen for me. And Chuck E. Cheese, and you know what? I'm going to tell you something right now. Chuck E. Cheese, you want to know how sad it is for me? This is how sad it is. I'll say to the kids, let's go to Chuck E. Cheese so I can go in and play some of the games in there, because there's nowhere else. There's nowhere else. As our main man Al Pacino would say, there's nobody else. There's nobody else. So the kids go, yeah, let's go to Chuck E. Cheese. We'll get some of the extra cheese. All that crappy food the kids eat. Oh, it's hell. I got to eat the extra cheese pizza. I got to do all the things they want to do. And then I got to wait in line behind five kids so I could get in the little race car game, you know, and those really cheap-ass Sega ones, too. You know, the really funky Sega graphics. Ah, God. It's the only one they got. So I got to stand there. Yeah, kid, go ahead. Hey, mister, are you in line, too? Yes, I am. Problem? Anybody got a problem? Step right up to the plate. And I'm surrounded by like 5, 6, 7-year-old kids going, hey, what up? What are you trying to pull? This is a place for kids. Hey, got a problem? Step up to the plate, brother. Let's go. Come on. Is there a hip 50s diner in Ventura County? Every time you turn around, you can go with your poodle skirt and your processed pompadour if you have hair. You see, let me explain something to a lot of these retro diners, retro restaurants, etc. You see, in the 50s, I was 5 years old, so that ain't making it. And even if I was, like, say, a teenager, I would have had enough hair to have the nice processed waterfall effect pompadour with the duck-ass tail. But now I'm 47, I ain't got no hair, man. I'm walking in there in a leather jacket and boots, and I'm trying to, like, motorcycle boots, trying to look the part, and I'm bald. The right away blows the effect. Go to Bob's Big Boy over there in Toluca Lake, you know, on Riverside. And on, what is it, Saturday nights? They have classic car night. A whole bunch of guys with, you know, like a lot of guys with prostate cancer standing around with hot. Forget it. Classic car night, man. I mean, we really got. Just as soon as I come back from chemo, I want you to see my. So what do you got over at Bob's on a Saturday night? A lot of hot cars. You think you're going to revisit the days of yore when you were, what, 17, 18 years old? Nice-looking car. You know, with the flames on the side and that pissed-off Woody Woodpecker guy with the cigar and Big Daddy Roth decals and all that crap. Only difference is now you've got prostate cancer. And you're standing there with your hot car. Now it's coming out a little runny. Now it burns. Now a lot of things. So you're going to stand there and show off the hot car. Difference between today and 1958, when you say to your friend, I'm going to hit the can, I'll come back and we can talk a little bit more about that 1958 Chevy, the two-tone, it's going to burn this trip. Whereas in 58, it was you were in, you were out, and you were back, and you're... And that's just the way it is. So where was I? Dave and Buster's kicks ass, and so does GameWorks. That's going to be so much fun. At the Block at Orange, off the 5 and the 22 on City Drive, 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock. I got to tell you guys, 8 o'clock, because we had announced another time. But we are going to be there. We're going to get off the air at 7. We'll be down there at 8 o'clock for the signing of the Best of the Phil Henry Show, 1999 CD, Communism is Neat. I think we're around 20 grand. I'm just spitballing. I'm making it up, but I'm pretty sure, because I talked to my friend's place. All of the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway youth in Hollywood. And they said, well, we made a nice 10 G's over the weekend at Rock Honda, and the internet sales have been just brisk. I mean, just pumping. And I can't thank you enough for that. PhilHenryShow.com if you want to order our CD online. And so I think, like I said, I think we're up around 20 G's right now. We'll find out. I'll find out for sure and I'll tell you tomorrow, like you care, right? Okay. It's Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I went out and got this keyboard for one of the guys today, and this thing is out of sight. I mean, like I was telling you, I get off on buying the kids Christmas presents. I just do, you know. I think it's even more fun making it good for them. And you know what? It is what it is. It is what it is. It's a time you buy presents for kids. If you want to call it that day where you buy presents for kids, go ahead. If you feel it's been co-opted and a traditionally religious event has been co-opted by secular forces and turned into a, quote, celebration of commercialism, there is nothing that I can say that's going to talk you out of that. And I also realize that some people just aren't happy unless they're complaining about something. You know, I mean, it's just they're just not happy. We could have it perfect. It could be a return to a perfect religious holiday. Somebody's going to be bellyaching about something. Do we celebrate it as a religious day? Yeah, I'm going to have to go to Mass. Nah, let me take that back. I'm going because I want to. It's fun. You're going into the gymnasium there at the school. There's about 300, 400 people. What the hell? You guys going to go to Mass on Christmas? Do it, man. Go to Midnight Mass. Have a couple of pops and go to Midnight Mass. Seriously. Mike, come on, be a Catholic for once in your stinking, rotten, depraved life. Be a Catholic. Return to your roots just once. Is Gretchen Catholic? Oh, she ain't? Well, go ahead, give her a little religion. Take her on into Mass there midnight. What you do, what every Catholic does, and don't tell me that you don't, because you know that you do, you sit around, have a few pops, and then you walk over to Midnight Mass. Now, that's just all there is to it. How do I know? I've seen it. I've done it. I've been around it. Don't give me your bull crap. That's what happens, and it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And we're inviting some of the parish priests over for Christmas Eve. Hey, Father, you know, got a bottle for you, babe. You want to come on? Oh, aren't you wonderful? Thank you, Phil. Well, you know, you do 5 or 6 spiked eggnogs, and you hit Midnight Mass. And we live right around the corner from the church, so we can walk over. My neighbor across the street last year, guy moved too, great guy, moved back to Switzerland, wherever the hell he's from. And I'm out there on the front lawn. It was Christmas Eve last year, and I'm trying to put something together for the kids. And I see him coming out. Hey, where are you going? Hey, I'm going over Midnight Mass. You know, and he goes, shake his hand. Oh man, I could smell that Johnny Walker down the block on him and his wife and their 6 friends, and they're all walking over. They're gonna have a great time. So we're gonna do that. And because it's just a cool thing. Now, am I a religious guy? No. Frankly, I'm more a practicing Buddhist than anything else. But you know what? I can hang out with a bunch of people, be in the spirit. Because whether you like to know it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, Christmas spirit is what you drink. It is what you... It's not what you drink. Christmas spirit is what you drink. What did Bob Cratchit say when he came into the office the next day and Scrooge was sitting there? He said, excuse me, Mr. Scrooge, I'm sorry I'm late. I was making rather merry yesterday, Christmas and all, sir. What are you telling me that the guy was standing around dancing with his wife and kids? What you know Bob Cratchit was doing. He's a great guy. He was dancing with his wife and kids. But why would that necessarily make him late for work? He was having a couple of pops. Big deal. Poor guy sitting there in front of a candle. That's all the heat that he gets. He gets a candle. So he has to do his work by the candle and heat himself by the candle. Gets a little bit of coal, he throws in the furnace, because Scrooge was a real piece of work. This guy was no fun to work for. So Cratchit's there warming his hand to the candlelight. One day out of the year, the guy had himself a couple of G&Ts or whatever the hell he's having. What did he have, a gin rum punch or some crap? Big deal. Let the guy have what he wants to have. So on Christmas, that's what we do. You go over there. It's a lot of fun. And in these days leading up, we've been buying the kids. We got a keyboard set up for the oldest kid that's just so... This thing, is I want it, man. It's one of these hip-hop... It's got all kinds of sampling sounds, and it's got, you know, rhythms that are built right in. Not that cornball crap that I bought. I bought myself one for $100 that we use on the show, and it's got, well, they say there's a Red River Valley, and that's about it. I thought I had state-of-the-art. I bought this thing today from this music store. By the way, both of the guys that waited on me, great guys. Talk about having a couple of pops. These dudes had blasted up just after lunch, and they walk in, may I help you, sir? And the guy's eyes, like a couple of stoplights. This dude looked like a bunny rabbit, man, just pinked out. And he's, may I help you? Dude's got a couple of, you know, just the pierced lower lip. He's fine. There's nothing wrong. Kind of an oiled spike job in his hair. Another guy had some kind of a wild Native American do. I don't know what this cat was. The guy who, forget it. The one guy had sort of a spiked, oiled number. And the other guy did a shag Native American. He parted it here. You know, some people part it here from one side to the other side. This guy parted it back to front. So he had kind of a Patty Page bang look. Then he had it swooped back like a samurai, samurai slash Native American. And both these guys lit to the gills, just right to the ears.
May I help you?
So I said, yeah, you can, because you're just the guy I want to talk to. And I look at this keyboard. It had all this sampling crap on it. Fantastic. About three bills. I said, you know what? He's the oldest boy. He deserves it. We're going to get this for him. But frankly, I think we should keep it in our room. I mean, it was nice. I was sitting there screwing around with it. I said, do we really have to get it for him? Can I get it for me? And Maria's looking at me like, what kind of a bum are you? You promised to a kid. Yeah, but it's really, I'd like it. Just screw him. He's a kid. He can live with the disappointment. I can't. Anyway, we bought him that. Had to go over and get some other crap. A DVD player. One of the guys wanted a DVD player. I thought, well, if I can get one for maybe $100, they're $900. Kids are asking for DVD players. $900 for the little portable job, Tony. Not the thing that you mount into your rack. No, the little portable one with the screen, that's what I want, brother. I want that thing. I had that on the plane going over to France. You know, they laid that on me. They got these things now. They got the big-ass screen like that. Not that little tiny screen. Big screen. This guy, the little guy, Alex, wants this thing for a cool G. Yeah, sure. I got a rule. I spent $1,000 on me first, then him. I come first, then him. I'll get it, then I'll give it to him. Then I got him a mini disc burner. Then Catherine wanted a whole bunch of Barbie stuff. Then one of the guys wanted some of these lightsabers. We got these dual lightsabers, the Darth Maul lightsaber. I said, that's pretty cool. I'd like one for myself. My wife again says to me, first him, then you. I said, well, can't I get the Darth Maul? No, you may not. God, come on. I'm the, you know. Then we got the basket, the hoop, 10 foot, 12, whatever the hell, and it adjusts, and I got to put it together. That's fine. I got a basketball, one that I could palm, so I could look like hot stuff. And just stuff like that. You know, you're driving around. We got the whole thing done in 2 hours. It was beautiful. I got up at 8 o'clock. I said, man, we are getting out, and we're going to do it. And, no, I got a vertical of about 3 inches. You know, I said, we're getting up, we're going to do it, and then we're going to come home, and we're going to have a big smile on our face, all the crap's packed into the car, and, oh, yeah, Santa Claus will be, you know, I'm keeping everything beautiful. It's just going to be nice. And, oh, that 30-mile-an-hour car I bought for myself, too. I got myself a 30-mile-an-hour car. I got Alex a 30-mile-an-hour car. We're going to have little races out there on the street, okay? The thing goes 17 feet per second. Is that about 30 miles an hour? It's about 50 miles an hour? 17 feet per second.
Buonasera. Vi ringraziamo per aver scelto di volare con Film and Rehair. Voleremo ad un'altitudine di 30.000 piedi e cappuccino. Il volo di stasera offrirà Al Pacino e devo inoltre annunciare che Mafia. And now, here is Phil.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. These are wonderful biscottis, is it, Mike? Oh, man. These babies are Italian, and both Sorrentino and Schaefer. And these two. And they're a kind of a lightly glazed little cookie donut style pastry. And every year you bring these in. And every year, 15, 20 more pounds. And every year you think I'm happy about this? Now what you got to have here, Tony, kind of one of these dark ones here, man. See this thing here? This is cut with hash. Mike's grandmother. Mike's grandmother. Grandma Rose cut these things with hashish, and now I got to drive home. One year I was working over at K-West. Some guy, I don't know who this dude was, came in with bourbon balls, and someone said, oh, you ought to have this cat's bourbon balls. Guy had a name like, you know, Cactus Jack or some bullcrap name like that. So I ate one of them, and I'm driving home. I'm stoned. I suddenly go, wait a minute. I just had one of these bourbon balls. In other words, it had bourbon. You could taste the booze in it, and it was kind of a rum thing. It was actually very good. Well, the guy had dropped big chunks of hash in this thing. And I'm driving home on the 210. It took about a half hour to come on. But I'm getting up around Glendale on the 210, and I'm stoned. I mean, really stoned. Fortunately, I mean, I put two and two together. I got, good, the guy put hash or something in that crap. I mean, I spent like 2 days on my back. And now your grandmother pulls the same thing? That's cold, man. That is really, really cold. All right, I want you to listen to something here. This is interesting. And this was in the paper today. Now listen to this and tell me whether you think that this just sounds a little far out. You tell me what you think. A man who claims to be a descendant of relatives of Jesus Christ has slapped a businessman he says is kin to Pontius Pilate with a wrongful death suit for ordering the execution of his remote ancestor. Irving R. David insists that olive oil magnate Giorgio Pilatus owes him $15 million in damages plus reparations for the pain and suffering he and his family have endured for generations. Mr. Pilatus may not be directly responsible for the horrible death inflicted on my beloved relative, but as governor of occupied Judea, his ancestor Pontius Pilate certainly was. Oh, man, this is good. God, that is so good. God, I wish I knew somebody that could cook. I'm kidding, Maria. Anyway, dark-eyed Mr. David, who sports a long, full beard, bears a definite resemblance to medieval European portraits of Christ. He says that an oral tradition in his family holds that Jesus of Nazareth was a family member. It was never a matter of debate, he recalls. Whenever I misbehaved, Mother would tell me I ought to be good like our forefather, Jesus. Mr. David was always fascinated by the story, and about 5 years ago, he asked a respected genealogist to look into it. To his surprise, the expert found substantial evidence that the Israeli truck driver was, in fact, a relative of Christ. Genealogist Antonio Citarella pooh-poohs protests from outraged religious leaders who insist that Jesus bore no children. He says the Bible never explicitly states that Jesus was married, but it never says he wasn't either, he says. Certainly, it was unheard of at the time for a man that age to be unmarried. The genealogist used meticulous records kept by the Romans to link the New Testament's Pilate to the modern-day Pilatus family. Mr. David says he arrived at the $15 million figure based on the fact that in addition to being Christianity's Messiah, Jesus was a trained carpenter. At that time, the life expectancy was about 45 years, meaning that at 33, his age at the time of the crucifixion, Jesus had at least a dozen productive years ahead of him, he explains. Making an average of 2 shekels a week and subtracting expenses, he would have left behind an estate worth the equivalent of roughly $32,000 in modern U.S. currency. Figuring in a modest annual interest rate compounded over the years, that would come to about $15 million today. An attorney for super wealthy Pilatus has condemned the suit, filed recently in a Rome court, as nutty and frivolous. Blasted the lawyer, Mr. David is obviously a publicity hound who is using the courts for self-aggrandizement. What do you think? If this guy's related to Jesus, and if this other guy's related to Pontius Pilate, I say the guy's got a claim. I don't know how much, you know, $15 million. How do you know what a shekel was worth back then? There's 2 shekels a week. He's making 2 shekels a week, subtracting expenses. He leaves an estate worth $32,000 back in those times, 33 A.D. Now, a respected genealogist, I don't know what that means. Genealogist Antonio Citarella, respected genealogist, he says. But the fact of the matter is, the genealogist did at least enough work to figure out that Pontius Pilate's distant relative is an olive oil salesman in Italy, and that Jesus Christ's distant relative is an Israeli truck driver. That this guy is going to sue this other cat. The truck driver sues the olive oil salesman in a wrongful death suit. I think it's bullcrap. I don't know why. I just think it's bullcrap. I don't think, call me nuts, but there's not a chance. There's not a chance that Jesus Christ has a relative who's a truck. Call me out of my mind, but he's not a truck driver. And besides, you can't sue somebody else's relative for the crap that was done to your relative, can you? So even if this guy's related to Pontius Pilate, you can't sue that guy for killing Jesus. Because he had nothing whatsoever to do with the death of his of that other guy's relative. That's just my personal, take on it. I don't know. You could probably figure out somewhere down the line an ancestor who might have been a governor in a colony in Australia, and that maybe he was a cruel warden of a prison, of a penal colony in Australia, and was indeed responsible for inflicting all kinds of hell and torment on the inmates. You can't sue me over what that guy did. So that's what I'm talking about. Now get a load of this. A man could barely believe his eyes as he drove down the road and suddenly saw an airborne 1,200-pound bull flying straight toward him. The stunned driver couldn't avoid a head-on collision with the Black Angus, which crashed into his windshield. The high-flying bull, sent aloft when it was hit moments earlier by a pickup truck, sailed more than 15 feet in the air. Incredibly, the animal survived the two collisions and walked away only with a slight limp. The shattered windshield showered broken glass on the second driver, leaving him with a few cuts. You kidding me? Who has ever heard of such a thing? A 1,200-pound bull. You know what? I think that's bull crap. I'm going to call BS on that. I don't believe it. Now listen to this, and this will top it all for you. With January 1st of the year 2000 fast approaching, experts are warning of impending worldwide chaos when something called the Millennium Bug computer glitch kicks in. Around the world, governments are way behind in the rush to fix the programming goof that will cause computers to go haywire when the new millennium arrives, so millions of people have been stockpiling food and weapons, and even building fortified bomb shelter-type hideouts in the hinterlands. At the same time, jittery financiers are shifting their assets to cash and gold in anticipation of a stock market crash and a run on the banks. Did you hear about this? Why didn't the news do anything about it? We're talking about a total collapse of societies around the world. Think back to the movie Road Warrior. That's the kind of mayhem headed our way. Now, I saw Road Warrior, and that wasn't too cool. Are they telling me in 2 weeks that's going to happen? Why the hell didn't I find out about this? I have a wife and four kids. They're telling me that I got a Road Warrior future in 2 weeks? Why didn't somebody say something about it? Most people still have no idea just how out of control things are going to get. Some of the predicted effects of the computer glitch: immense regional blackouts, planes falling out of the sky, telephones going dead, assembly lines grinding to a halt, widespread home foreclosures, and even food riots. Are you telling me that guys with Mohawk hairdos are going to be on my lawn in 2 weeks? God dang it. Well, brother, that's just not cool. And somebody should have said something about it. Thank you very much. Here I live right in the middle of, and work in the middle of, a major communications center. And no one says jack about computers going up and out. Up and out, man, come year 2000. I think the government should have warned us. I think something should have been on the wires, on the internet, some kind of a public statement from the president. And here they're telling me now in 2 weeks... Road Warrior. Now, what am I supposed to do? Go out and build myself a fortified compound? Great. You know, it's like at Home Depot right now. Yeah, great. I'll go out and I'll build myself a fortified home. Well, that sucks. Yeah, it just sucks. I don't want to do it. Screw it. Go to a break. I don't even feel like doing this anymore. I hate it. Show, and it's time now for our show closing moral dilemma. Here's one. I want you to think about this one, because there is so much of this kind of ugly news in the news, and there are so many lives that really can be altered in a very serious way because of these charges. There is a man who played a practical joke, but does he deserve to go to prison for this? Now listen to this. Luis Carmago, this guy lives in Colombia. He lives in Bogota, Colombia. He dressed into a shiny green alien costume. He got into a spaceman costume. And then he would meet girls in a public park and tell them that they had discovered his secret mission to Earth and that he was on the planet to try to prevent an interplanetary war and that he had his headquarters nearby. And that if they wouldn't expose him, he could be one of his assistants. After a while, he began suggesting that they have sex, and he promised to take them for a ride in outer space. So the girls thought that it would be neat to take a ride in outer space, and they believed that he really meant what he was saying, so they made love to him. They just felt he had a really good line, and they took it in hook, line, and sinker. Now the women are charging that they were, and this is an ugly word, but they are charging that he technically raped them. Now, is that rape? Because a guy gets into a space alien costume and lays a fairly seductive line on a woman. I'm an alien. I'm here to try to prevent a intergalactic war. And if you don't tell anybody, I'll take you for a ride in outer space and you can be one of my assistants. If the woman decides to go to bed with the alien based upon that information, and he's really not an alien, he's an Earthman in an alien costume, is that guy raping her? I think that's a very, very strong word, and I think it's a very, very strong sentiment. I don't know. But I think that they're doing it voluntarily. Yes, they're doing it voluntarily with what they think is a man from outer space. See, these women think they're sleeping with a man from outer space. In point of fact, it's a guy from Earth dressed in an outer spaceman costume that he bought at a costume store. See, listen to this very carefully. He said he had his headquarters nearby and said he'd let me be one of his assistants. After a while, he began suggesting we have sex and promised to take me for a ride in outer space. I just thought it would be so neat. I believed he really meant it, so I made love to him. He had a great line, and I took it hook, line, and sinker. Police say they can prove that Carmago bedded down at least 25 young women, ranging in age from 18 to 34, and they suspect he was involved with dozens more. My question is, should the guy be in jail? Should the guy go to jail? Let's go to the phones. Hi, Los Angeles. You're on the air.
Phil, how are you doing?
Good.
Very interesting program. I don't know. The man was in a rubber suit?
He was. I don't know if it was a rubber suit. He was in a space alien suit.
But the girls believed that he was from another planet.
Yes.
If the women believed he was from another planet, then I would think that they are culpable in this action. In other words,
well, and the further clouding this is, can you have sex with a space alien? In other words, his attorney is saying, well, no, they didn't technically have sex with me because you can't really have sex with a space alien, even though in point of fact that they did.
Well, it depends on definition, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess it would depend on what your definition of sex is. The girls say that they had sex with a space alien. He says, well, you can't really have, quote, sex, unquote, end quote, with a space alien. But the point being that they thought they were having sex with a guy from another planet, and he and they were, in fact, having sex with a guy from Earth in a rubber suit.
In a green alien costume.
In a green alien costume. So the women think that they were tricked and fooled to the point of rape. The man is saying they voluntarily consented to this act. Okay. And so, therefore, he is not guilty of this assault.
It's a very difficult one to figure. But my wife and I both think that a guy in a rubber suit should somehow be culpable.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe just a matter, just something new, that women are not getting what they thought they were getting from a man. You know, another one of those.
Yeah, well, the guy just sort of finagled him.
Finagled him, but is it rape?
Well, my wife and I think that a guy in a rubber costume is, at some level, it's wrong.
All right. Well, I thank you very much for your call, sir.
All right. Well, great show this evening.
Thank you very much. All right. So a guy in a green rubber suit didn't rape those women. That's great. Thinking about the times you drove in my car. Thank God.